Let's just record an episode before I say something I'll really regret.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Disney Plus, the new streaming app from Disney. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, including The Mandalorian. We're going to spoil it, but not until the second half.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Beep boop.
And we are
beep, boop, boop.
We are here to talk Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's right. The new Disney streaming app slash service slash what have you is live. It is up and running. And we, as your nerdy atheist podcast outlet, have been checking it out.
Mm-hmm. We have.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been checking out. We are going to talk about The Mandalorian in slightly more detail later in the podcast. So
yeah.
I'm just going to warn you, we'll talk Disney Plus for about the first half, and then we'll talk Mandalorian in a little more depth, and we'll warn you.
Yeah. Good spoiler warning. It won't be a surprise.
So, but you've got a really big advanced spoiler warning now. So Disney Plus has been out for, what, about 3 weeks
a
month?
Two and a half weeks
as of this recording. Probably about a month by the time
2 weeks today, actually.
Yeah, about a month by the time the episode airs.
What have you been watching, Nick?
Obviously Mandalorian was a big priority and has been wonderful. I've been watching some Darkwing Duck a little bit here and there. And just kind of that was like my childhood cartoon. It's been a little fun and a little silly. And then Star Wars Resistance, which... the show that kind of replaced Rebels, which we kind of watched a couple episodes and didn't really get into. And I find that streaming it is a good way to, like, it's a good background binge. Like, you can be dicking around on your phone while Resistance plays because it's not as good as Rebels, but it's worth watching because stuff happens in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the one that actually takes place just before The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So, like, Poe Dameron's in it.
BB-8.
And BB-8 and stuff. So, it bridges that, a little bit of that gap of what's happening and how the Resistance is trying to infiltrate stuff. And,
I haven't started watching that one yet.
Yeah, the Imagineers documentary show.
Uh-huh.
Watching that. I haven't watched Encore yet, but we both really want to watch Encore.
Yeah, I was just looking at that one, which, I mean, I haven't watched it yet, but it looks super interesting. That one's hosted by Kristen Bell, which she's kind of like, I really like Kristen Bell.
Well, and also Encore is people who were in musicals in high school and want, or college, I think, could be too, but who want to come back and be in a musical again.
Yeah.
And so they
reprise their role.
And so they're all in this, they're all doing it again. Like,
I know, it sounds super, super, super like theater nerd geeky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds really great.
It sounds heartfelt and cheesy in an enjoyable way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very wholesome. Fun. Yeah.
I'll have to contact them about reprising my role as chorus person. In a chorus line. No, not person who was in the chorus as in like part of an actual named part in a chorus line. No, the chorus of a chorus line.
So you did was dance and sing
at the end. Yes.
Yeah.
And actually I was in the very far back doing my dancing for the end of the end of one.
Just tweet Kristen Bell.
Dear
Kristen.
Can I please not be seen on stage for a chorus line yet again?
So I haven't watched that, but Molly, I think you've kind of gone over. Is there anything else that you've watched that Nick hasn't?
Nothing I've watched, but things I'm excited to watch, because when my brother and sister were babies and toddlers, that was like when Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid was more when I was in middle school, junior high. But I was obsessed with The Little Mermaid. My very first boyfriend was obsessed with Aladdin, and we saw it in the theater together 7 times.
Oof.
I loved Beauty and the Beast. I loved The Lion King. And those 4 are really the ones that I really got into. And after that, I didn't watch them as much because the kids had gotten older and I had gone to college, so I wasn't spending all my time with them. But for a while there, you know, we could tell what VHS tape, like, one of the kids had put in based on what previews were shown on the tape, because we knew them all by heart because we were watching them over and over and over. So I'm really looking forward to sometime, maybe tomorrow when I'm working from home, you know, just popping in one of those old movies and letting that run in the background and listening to the Disney songs, because it's one of my favorite parts about going to Disney World is hearing all the music that I loved from the musicals.
I watched Monsters University, too, which I hadn't seen yet, which there's a bunch of Pixar movies like Inside Out and stuff that we haven't seen that we'll more likely to get around to now.
Inside Out is great. Monsters University, not so much.
It was fine.
I really loved the Disney live action movies when I was a kid, so I'm really looking forward to checking, like, rewatch. Like, I have a lot of friends who are like, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, how have I never heard of this? And I'm like, I don't know. How have you never heard of this? Like, it's great.
And I peace out halfway through The Black Hole, which was a movie that terrified me as a child, and I rewatched several times as a child.
Yeah.
And it's rough in retrospect.
Problematic or just boring?
No, it's not good.
It's not like some awful thing where it's like, because the black hole ends up being like society or something terrible.
No. I'm kind of excited to watch some stuff like the Swiss Family Robinson, which I remember watching on like Sunday morning television. I know must not be very good.
It's got to not be good.
But I'm kind of excited to revisit it in this format.
What else have you watched?
Well, I've definitely watched The Mandalorian. I've been watching the Imagineer series as well, which, just as a Disney park nerd,
we're going to have lunch with Imagineer.
Oh, are you? You're going to have lunch with them?
Very excited.
Are you going to be the only people there? Or
I don't think so. I think it's like up to 8 people. So I think it's like there's like 8 people sitting at a table with an Imagineer, and we're having lunch, and we get to ask all the questions we want. And
I know, they do that. That's a special lunch deal.
I'm very excited.
I'm psyched.
I'm going to talk only about Spaceship Earth, because that is the best ride.
Well, tell me everything you know about robots.
That might be the only thing you get to do, because it's shutting down early 2020. Spaceship
How early?
Earth. I don't know exactly.
It'll be shut down when we're there.
It's going to be.
No! Yeah.
And it's going to be shut down for 2.5 years.
Oh, my God.
They are completely, completely gutting. And
oh, my God.
It's going to be quite the thing.
I'm heartbroken. I don't get to go on it when we go. I'm sorry.
Teens will just have to settle for making out in the Haunted Mansion now, I guess.
Oh, I guess so. But I enjoy the Imagineering thing. It's very much a Disney rah-rah kind of series. You know, look at how clever the Disney company is and how awesome Walt Disney was. And wasn't he a great boss?
And Eisner wasn't a villain at all, and he was
Right. But nonetheless, you know,
not
you
Eisner.
Get
no Eisner.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who took over.
Yeah.
For, yeah. Yeah. Right.
But the being able to see like some of the inside stuff, and there's shots of like some of the classic rides being built, which I always find just fascinating seeing the guts of a ride. So that's been a series that I've enjoyed. As mentioned, I'm actually super interested in Encore. The kids have been watching Milo Murphy's Law, which is like a sequel to Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I've seen that on the Disney Channel.
Weird Al Yankovic is a voice actor on it, isn't he?
I think
We've caught like the last like 2 minutes of that when we've gone to watch Star versus the Forces of Evil, and it's been on our recording.
It's like the kids described it, and it's a pretty good description. It's like, you know how Phineas and Ferb, like, everything goes right? The main character in Milo Murphy's Law, everything goes wrong.
Of course.
All the time. Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
But he's kind of prepared for it and used to it and just sort of rolls with it.
Yeah.
The whole
time. Somebody who just has terrible luck.
Yeah, it's just like, this is my life.
That's really cool.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz is still in it, so... That's I think a positive.
I never watched Phineas and Ferb. That's a big problem I have with. So the Disney Channel really became a thing. I don't know what year the Disney Channel became a thing on television, but I know I was already in it, like, you know, too old for it in that way, that I didn't watch it and we didn't really watch it. And so all those shows that were on the Disney Channel and all of those Disney stars, like, I didn't really know anything about them until, other than I knew of them, like Selena Gomez and... Well,
it started as a premium channel before joining, like,
I think
regular...
So.
Yeah, no, it totally
In any
did.
Event, like, we, it wasn't, I didn't, I don't have a lot of nostalgia for shows like Lizzie McGuire. I didn't watch Phineas and Ferb. Like, I didn't watch a lot of those shows. I didn't even really watch a lot of DuckTales until we started rewatching the reboot of DuckTales.
Which is dynamite.
I knew a little bit of it. We watched a little bit of that. We watched a little bit of Rescue Rangers. You know, but so I imagine all that stuff is still there.
Yeah, I mean, the kids watch the shit out of Phineas and Ferb. I saw a lot of it, and it's a good show.
Yeah, because that would have been what, like early 2000s, Phineas and Ferb?
Sure.
Sure, all right.
I don't know, I just know my kids watch the shit out of it. And the other thing that I'm excited about that I haven't started watching is just all the National Geographic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which I am super excited about. I know they have Free Solo, which won the Oscar for Best Documentary this last year. And I've actually seen it already, but it's pretty effing amazing, and I'm looking forward to watching it again. So that's kind of cool. I didn't realize they were going to have all the
Nat Geo.
All the Nat Geo stuff.
Huh. So Disney Channel actually started in 1983. That's when it was first launched. I do not remember that at all. 1997 to 2002 is when it was Disney. 1997 is when I think I became aware of it. I don't remember it being on our cable at that early, but
The new DuckTales is absolutely phenomenal, and if you're a fan of the original DuckTales or Darkwing Duck, like, there is a single episode of DuckTales where, it's an entire episode devoted to Darkwing Duck, and it's the greatest episode of anything Darkwing Duck ever. It's modernized. It takes some really good shots at grim, dark superhero reboots.
It's about also like fan entitlement.
Yeah.
It talks a lot about that. And
which is hilarious, given that the show is itself a reboot.
Right, and like, who owns a creation? Like, does the creation owe anything to its fans, or should, you know, it's really great.
And they completely and totally set it up for a lot more Darkwing Duck and or a standalone show. But like, Gravity Falls is on there, like all of Gravity Falls, which is Twin Peaks for kids, or all ages, really. It's dynamite.
Yeah, I think there's just a crazy amount of stuff.
Well, that's the thing Disney has as an advantage is starting their own streaming service compared to something like CBS All Access. Disney has an incredibly large catalog of very popular things. I mean, Disney has been a major part of pop culture since forever, like 120 years or whatever the fuck it is.
And now they've got Marvel and they've got Star Wars, and, it's like, so it's just like, it's fucking insane,
right?
All the stuff. Yeah. And I realize that, you know, and I we have a few friends and who more than a few who like are like concerned about Disney controlling as much popular culture as they do.
Oh yeah.
Which I think is reasonable, because I think that Disney does have certainly they're not going to produce a lot of dark material.
They're a mega corporation, that's not good. That's an unethical thing. But also, I love Marvel and Star Wars, and
most Pixar is great, and the Nat Geo stuff is great, and I just you can sit there and go,
and Disney has the Muppets too, right?
They've got the Muppets,
but they don't have Muppet Babies on Disney Plus.
Whatever will we do?
I think it's owned by. And they don't have the Muppet Show either, I think. Some of that stuff is in limbo or owned by a German company or something.
But most of the Muppet, at least a few of the Muppet movies are on there. The new ones, sure.
Yeah.
I know the kids have watched that.
Did you watch the Marvel? So they haven't done any original Marvel programming yet.
Not yet.
But did you watch the Expanding the Universe? The, like, here's what we're doing with Disney Plus with Marvel thing?
Not yet.
So it's like a 12-minute clip, and it's a largely stuff taken from D23, the Disney convention panels with all, you know, Sebastian Stan and all the actors showing up, and Kathleen Kennedy is there talking about all the shows and stuff with some, you know, art to promote them, and announcing like She-Hulk and Miss Marvel and Moon Knight and all of that. Some stuff that they said that, like, there are shows that I was kind of interested in that I'm now really interested in. The WandaVision show, like, gosh, I'm starting to think Scarlet Witch might end up being the big villain of Phase 4. Like, they described WandaVision as like nosy neighbor sitcom horror or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sounds great. There's a
I'm really,
like,
excited for that and for the What If series.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's some of it is about what's on the horizon.
Most of it for me is what's on the horizon, to be honest. Like, if this was just going to be we have all the stuff that's been published, and then anything Star Wars or whatever is going to be on here. And then when the Marvel movies are out, they'll be available only here instead of Netflix. I would have been like, that'd be nice, but not. But the fact that they're doing original programming is
right.
Why,
there's so much original. I mean, it's coming, and there's original programming coming out all the time.
Yeah,
not necessarily stuff you're totally interested in, but they like, just this week they released like a new Christmas movie.
They did a new Muppet Babies.
Yeah,
that's I just saw that Muppet Babies is on, but not the old one.
Right,
they did a new Muppet Babies.
Like, sure.
Yeah, there's some weird new stuff that they're doing. They're rebooting Lizzie McGuire. There's a whole bunch of stuff that they're doing.
And so, you know, like, you can stream to 5 devices at the same time in 4K or Ultra HD. So, you know, we got an account and we bought 3 years of Disney Plus at like $1.50 a month or whatever ended up being with that pre-order deal, but then promptly gave the credentials out to my brother and my mom.
There's no reason not to.
So right. All my siblings can watch, you know, under our like family plan. And that's great. Like, that makes a lot more sense to have it as like a communal account.
Mm-hmm. It's not that expensive as far as streaming services go.
I wish all streaming services were that cheap, because then I'd sign up for more of them.
Like I say, especially given the original content. And here's where we're going to paste a spoiler warning.
Yep, yeah, time.
We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about The Mandalorian, which we are 3 episodes in at this point.
Yep,
right.
The fourth one drops in a couple days from the time of this recording.
Yep.
And
all right, this is your stop. So stop the recording if you haven't watched it, because it's worth it.
Or if you care.
Don't care about spoilers, well, then you're fine. If you do, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie.
Oh, my God.
Not this movie.
I love this show.
Yeah,
I love that it's Wolf and Cub. I love that it's a true Western. I love that we're seeing bits of Mandalorian culture, and that, you know, being a Mandalorian apparently isn't like a birth thing. Like, it's a choice.
They're a culture, not an ethnicity.
Yeah. It's great.
Not a race. Yeah.
It's also, I didn't realize it was only 35 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sweet.
Yep.
Sweet. This is super easy, bite-sized Star Wars.
I appreciate that, because I feel like if you look at like the Marvel Netflix stuff, we've complained about it being several episodes per season too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, if they – another option would have been shorter episodes, really, because like – these are all killer, no filler, Mandalorian episodes. They still have a lot of time for the show to breathe, where there's not a lot of dialogue happening. They fit in a lot of really good Star Wars action, which is kind of cheesy, but, you know, it's good Star Wars action. And yet, I'm always left wanting more, and I never feel like there's any slowness or drag.
Yeah.
Yet they also take their time with the pacing.
And you want to know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
It's like the thing that everybody's calling Baby Yoda, which obviously it's not. But anyway, that character.
Yeah.
That baby,
the baby.
Creature.
They call it the child.
The child.
That's how it's credited. The child.
Yep.
It's like you've always been. You've only just seen the one creature like Yoda.
There's
ever.
Yaddle.
Yeah, Yaddle.
Okay, this is in something
in
that I haven't seen.
No, you've seen Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's on the Jedi Council.
Oh.
Yeah, just it's a brief thing.
Whatever. With the long-necked guy and Samuel Jackson.
It's one of those things that they threw into the prequels as a, like, oh, and then there's a lot of these guys.
And there's another Yoda. Yeah. We're not going to name the race.
We still don't know, species name or homeworld or anything. But three out of three that we've seen have been Force users.
One of the best things is the economy of dialogue and the way that they show, not tell. Like, the dialogue, and there isn't any expositionary dialogue. Like, there isn't a lot of, like, you know, well, you as a Mandalorian will never take off your helmet, as we know that is a part of what your culture says. You know, like, instead it's just like, how many years have you done this? And have you ever taken off your helmet? No. Well, and just it's the way that you would get that information if you were dropped into the story and you were just seeing people talk.
When he gets thrown from the beast in, like, the first episode or whatever, is it Nick Nolte that's the Ugnaught?
Yeah.
He says, like, you know, hey, you might do better if you took your helmet off. And, like, Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian, is doing a tremendous job with mask acting.
He gives
the guy a look, and even though you can't see his face and he's laying on the ground so he can't really emote with his entire body, like, he gives him a look like, it's not gonna fucking
happen. You, man. I'm a Mandalorian. Don't you fucking know that?
And he also says, but then there's another, he throws away, like, you know, your people have been good at riding whatever the beasts are for years, you know, and it's like, oh, little tidbit. Doesn't need to say anything else. And it's just been so good like that. Like, just, you know, when he's like, you know, how many, I need more work. What are these discs? It's like, oh, I'll let you choose. That's your right. You've earned that. I'll let you choose. Right there. Now you know. Normally they don't get to choose. He gives you one and you take it. He's letting you choose, but you also don't get to know who it is until you pick.
He looks at him first, but
he doesn't. He just kind of hovers his hand over him and then he takes one and then he pops it up and sees the guy.
It's a hierarchy within the Bounty Hunters Guild, right? Like, he's earned his place.
Yeah,
there.
When he's like, did you get a fob? Who else got fobs? Like, just little things like that. Like,
I also like looking into the Bounty Hunters Guild and finding out more about them and how they work, because, like, we've met a number of Bounty Hunters throughout all the Star Wars properties, and it's interesting to see the kind of bureaucratic back end of that.
They also do a nice job. Like, they're, you know, obviously Empire Strikes Back has that scene with all those bounty hunters.
No disintegrations.
And we've met most of those bounty hunters.
Right.
But when
or something like one of those bounty hunters.
That line that has always seemed like kind of a throwaway line that they just threw in there to sound extra sci-fi.
It turns to Boba.
No disintegrations. When he says it to Boba, and it's like, oh, okay. You're like, oh, wow, he's a real badass. But then the Mandalorian, Mando, you know, like, has this weapon that is just fucking disintegrating dudes.
His rifle.
Yeah. And when it first happened, I was like, holy shit. And then it happened a couple more times, and we were like, no disintegrations. Like, this is clearly a thing, but we'd never seen it before. It had never been something that we knew, you know, we knew about it in this weird, it's such a great way to tie everything together.
The illustrations that they use in the credits, where they show, like, almost like storyboards,
concept art
that are, you know, fantasy art, fully colored and painted, that show the scenes of the episode you just saw, are fucking gorgeous background or wallpaper fodder. Like, they're real good.
Yeah.
I dig that.
If other original series, like the Marvel series and any other Star Wars series, that if other original series that they're putting onto Marvel, onto Disney Plus are anywhere as good as this, it's going to be an amazing platform as far as entertainment is concerned.
I am so ready for the She-Hulk series that they have coming out that's being written by a woman. And, you know, like I think more of the production team is mostly women.
It's written by, I can't remember her name. She's the woman that wrote the episode of Rick and Morty that's the Pickle Rick episode that won them an Emmy, which is like it's a really fucking good episode and very popular.
It's the completely most misinterpreted episode.
No, for real.
But that's kind of what's amazing about it is she's that good of a writer. She's so
Susan
good.
Susan Sarandon as the psychiatrist.
Yeah, she's
that?
So good that, like, dumb fanboys can listen to what she wrote and be like, yeah, I'm Pickle Rick, bitch. And not realize that they were just, like, schooled. I can't wait for the Supernatural SVU Law and Order with Jessica Walters. Like, oh, it's gonna be so good.
For Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Man, so obviously, like, you know, people are talking about this, the child, and what he is, and all that jazz. Do you mind if I throw a theory?
Sure. Yeah, today? Yeah, yeah. Throw it out.
So, all right. So there's Werner Herzog, but then there's that scientist dude with the glasses, yeah, right? Yeah.
The one who was like, I was trying to protect the child.
Right. So that dude's got a patch on his left sleeve of his weird kind of white imperial uniform, like mm-hmm. an imperial scientist uniform.
Yeah, I mean, they're
right?
clearly imperial remnants. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So his patch, it looks like a lowercase IL with a line under it, which is the very, it looks just like the same symbol that the Kaminoans, the cloners, use in Attack of the Clones. They have this same sort of symbol that looks like an IL. When they show all the clones as children being trained up
all
at
the
their like
clones.
Battle yeah. stations or whatever, they have that like on their earphones or
okay.
headsets and
okay.
stuff. Like, so that is, if it's not the symbol for the cloners, it looks
remarkably
super fucking
like it,
close.
Which is, let me just tell you, having worked with the scrutiny of Star Wars LFL Disney,
it can't be an accident.
I doubt that's an accident.
Right.
I doubt that's an accident. Yeah. Like, when we do art pieces, if we have Arabesh, like, it has to say something. It has
sure.
to be translated, and what it says has to make sense. Like, there's a lot of little, like, there are things where they're like, what are the colors of, you know, like the Imperials all have those code sticks that they keep in their pockets that are like,
sure.
They're code cylinders.
Yep.
They look like pens, but that's what they are is like what grants them access through things.
Sure.
And so like, they'll be like, oh, the colors on those can't be this. They need to be that. Like it's
because they
know. I mean, there's a whole team of people dedicated to making sure that the story continuity all makes sense. So,
but also you can buy a lightsaber that barks like a dog.
I mean, yeah.
So
no,
is your theory then that they're trying to clone
Yoda clone?
Yeah, I think it's a Yoda clone.
Create an Imperial Yoda army?
Well, so Yoda spent some time with the cloners. I mean, he was there to inspect the army and
he was.
Picked them up mm-hmm. and all that. Who's to say they didn't, you know, get a piece of him?
Give him a coffee cup like they do when a cops are like, can we get you something to drink? And you're like, yeah I'm thirsty. And then you drink your coffee and they're like, okay, you're free to go. And you're like, yeah. And you don't even think to take your trash because you're a fucking moron. Yeah, that's how they clone you.
I don't know if it's a. I would guess Yoda clone, but
if the cops offer you a drink, say no or take your trash with you. That's all I'm saying.
I'd be more interested if it wasn't a Yoda clone, maybe just because it would mean learning more about what the fuck Yoda is.
Or it might not be a Yoda clone, but their goal is to make Yoda clones.
Sure.
If this particular species is all heavily force sensitive, you know, having your own army of.
I mean,
force sorcerers would be a pretty good deal.
Sorcerers.
That baby is not force sensitive. That baby's a fucking force user of incredible power.
Yeah.
Like, I did see a great meme that Nick showed me that was baby, you know, baby uses the force and lifts a full creature. It's like fanboys go crazy. It's like grown woman uses force to move one pebble. It's like fanboys get angry. Unbelievable. How is she so powerful in the force? Like that baby, they're like, oh, that tracks.
Well, that makes sense because Yoda.
Yeah.
Well, it's like.
But I haven't seen a girl do that before.
Right?
In an interview, Werner Herzog said that when he saw the child puppet that he teared up, he started crying because it was so cute. And someone summed that up as Werner Herzog, notable director who waved a gun in his actor's face for not performing correctly, cries at sight of green puppet.
Well, so one of the things I love about The Mandalorian is that the doors dilate. Which
yeah, they're cool.
Great. That's what they should be.
Like the iris.
Like, that makes sense, right? Like
sphincter.
So like they like iris open, and so the door opens and the Mandalorian's going in, and Werner Herzog is sitting there with a couple of stormtroopers, and all I could think was, fucking Nazis. Like, oh yeah, end their regime and they still find a place to hide.
That's
with
right.
the little Nazi punk sign. Oh god.
There's good on both sides.
The analogy continues, right? Like what happens after you defeat Hitler? Like, well, they're still Nazis, motherfucker, and they just scurry like rats and they find remote jungle or desert locations where they can still do their Nazi
and they
shit.
Try to clone Yoda.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Mengele.
Boys,
that's who
boys
this dude
from
is.
Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. It
right?
is like kind of Boys from
I'm
Brazil situation.
You,
yeah.
It is legit. Like,
I hope we never see Pedro Pascal's face. I hope
handsome face.
I would be nothing against the guy. I just think
so
it'd be
good looking using that mask.
I think it'd be dope that we never saw an unmasked Mandalorian.
Well, that's the idea.
They have been really quiet about naming planets where things are happening. They haven't given us a single planet name of anything yet. Even though, like, you know, one's a Tatooine-esque Outer Rim planet, right? Yeah. So I dig that. They're really, by keeping some of the details back, they're not contradicting.
Is it only one season, or are they doing multiple seasons?
We don't know. It's like eight episodes.
It's eight episodes, and then we don't know.
They haven't said yet.
I can't imagine they wouldn't do more if the plot allows for it.
My guess is they will announce that after the eighth episode airs.
Sure.
They don't want to.
With the setup.
Because otherwise it makes you wonder.
Yeah, how it might end.
Yeah. I hate when there's like an ending that feels like it could be the end, but before that, you get to that episode that's announced that they got picked up for a second season. You're like, oh, okay, I guess these people are fine.
Well, maybe they kill off one of them.
Oh, one thing we haven't talked about at all is the Jawas.
Yeah.
There's so much Jawa. That second episode is like Jawa.
With the egg.
Yeah. What are they? I can't remember what they're McClunky. Shouting. No, that's what. Yeah. McClunky. They're shouting something that translates to egg in the language there, and they're all like chanting and shoving.
Basically, it's like egg.
Like to have him go fight that.
It's like it looks like a crate dragon, but it's not. It's something else.
It's rhinoceros-y.
He names it when she offers to make it his emblem.
Right.
His sigil, which he hasn't found yet. I'm guessing by the end of this season, he will have found his sigil.
I would hope.
Which is interesting. Does that mean that Boba Fett's sigil, which we always all this time thought stood for Mandalore, the tusked thing.
That does stand for Mandalore. His sigil looks like a grain
Mandalorian.
Of wheat.
Oh, okay. So that is like Mandalore royal or who knows what with them. We know a little bit about Mandalorian leadership, like in Rebels. I mean, they're a matriarchy. Boba Fett's is like wheat and blood drop and the number seven sort of.
I think that's the symbol for like galactic credits or whatever. I know it's in X-Wing.
Yeah. I think you're right. Cool. Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah,
it's
a really good show.
I'm really hoping that there's a lot of Mandalorian. So you just got back from Disney World.
Yeah.
Was there Mandalorian stuff at the park?
I don't think so. I didn't watch Mandalorian until I got back.
Right.
So,
Did you see anything?
We have to do an episode about Baku once you get back.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's fucking amazing.
I can't wait
but
to go.
There may be stuff there. I wouldn't be surprised.
By the time we go, I would be shocked if there isn't a lot of Mandalorian merchandise.
There could be. Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Any merchandise that's like branded Mandalorian will not be in Baku because there's nothing branded in Baku.
Oh, cool.
It's an immersive place. So there's kick-ass shit.
We're planning
in Baku.
Our bounding outfits already.
Well, there's Coke and there's Sprite, but they're in those little thermal detonator bottles. Everything is.
Yeah.
But there, you will not find a shirt that says Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
In Galaxy's Edge.
That's very cool.
There's not a single piece of merchandise.
But do they sell T-shirts?
Yes.
Outside of Baku. Though.
Yeah, but they sell T-shirts, but they are shirts that you would buy if you were on Baku.
There's clothing. Yeah.
I mean, I will show you when we go upstairs. It's the dopiest thing.
But cool.
But they have. I got a fridge magnet that is a restraining bolt.
Right.
That's literally what it is.
So you can enslave your fridge.
It doesn't. Yeah, I enslave my fridge. It doesn't say.
So rude. I put mine in my car.
It doesn't say, you know, Disney Galaxy's Edge around
not.
The edge. Just a fucking restraining
That's
bolt.
Exciting.
It's so cool.
So I did.
They've got shit tons of stuff
I asked
like that.
Because I did see an article that Disney has said they are going to do Baby Yoda merchandise.
And so they probably will.
Probably good puppets and plushies.
I saw some pictures of the first stuff they're offering. It's literally like a cafe press image from the fucking show that they just like slapped on a whole bunch of shit as quick as they could.
That's because
it's like, we're losing baby Yoda money.
You gotta make that money now.
That stuff will probably end up being in the Star Wars shop that's at the end of Star Tours because it's not in Galaxy's Edge. So
they did.
I'll know more in January.
They did make a figure of that heavy weapon Mandalorian who shows up with the fucking like laser Gatling
gun.
Or
yeah.
That they made a figure of that that person with the like bigger armor.
Good
jetpack.
Good jetpack action.
God, give me one of those.
Good jetpack action.
All right. So anyway, Disney Plus, recommended. Thumbs up. It is a pretty good price, and there is going to be a lot of content that you will probably end up watching. But it's time to move on to five questions. Molly, do we have five questions?
We do. From Miranda Richards, friend of the show. We have
Miranda.
Five questions.
Oh.
She says, howdy, geeks. I have five questions for you since you're so desperate for them.
We are desperate. Damn. Thank
We're thirsty for them.
Thirsty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. We're thirsty. All right. We ready?
Yes.
Question one. You three identify as cisgender people.
Ding.
Consider an alternate universe where you are transgender. You were born in the same body and everything, but you want to transition. What is your chosen name, and what is your gender identity?
Oh.
I read this question ahead of time a little bit, so I will take the start on this. So I am a very binary-minded person myself. That's just part of being autistic, for me at least anyway, is my brain's very black and white, one or the other. I know that if I were transgender, I would want to pursue a very masculine representation of that gender as much as I could, you know, coax my wrong body into being for myself. My gender identity would be male. And my chosen name, so I always used to say that I would go with Riley because that's what I was going to be named were I born physically, you know, genetically male. But my brother was named Riley instead. So I have always really liked
AMAB.
I would probably name myself after one of my favorite characters, and I would probably call myself Locke after Locke Lamora.
Nice.
And I would probably name myself Locke, L-O-C-K-E. And
who's actually named after Locke from Final Fantasy VI.
Oh, is he? Is there that, what Scott, Lynch, is that is. What Scott Lynch named him after? Yeah. Locke after my father, Lamora. That's, that's the name I would choose. So that's me.
All right. Good answer. Nick?
You know, maleness isn't super tied to my identity.
In this universe, you're transgender.
But I'm just saying. Right. But like, there are certain aspects of me that I consider to be central to who I am outside of my gender.
Okay.
My height and size is like a part of my identity that isn't a part of my gender.
That's the body you're born in.
My beard, though, is, you know, typically beards are like masculine and male attributes. It's very central to my identity. I think that it feels weird to say like, pick how you would be transgender in this alternate universe. But I think like a non-binary me with the same name or, you know, depending on if I was feeling particularly like flexible or whatever on any particular day, Nikki or Nicole would be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be particularly caring about one way or the other as far as the name went.
So you'd identify non-binary?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And then
rather than try to force or coax your largeness into a feminine appearance or a more you could get electrolysis for your beard.
Sure,
if you were if you were born transgender, you very likely may not your beard.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Right. For sure. It's just that there are things that I feel are like core central to my to my being.
Yeah.
And then I feel like all those things could be true with a different gender identity.
Absolutely.
And not in conflict.
There are tons of non-binary people with beards.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that's alternate universe Nick.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
I think I'm much like Molly in that I'm pretty binary. If I was transgender, I would probably be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And name, the only name that comes to mind, my youngest, if he had been a girl, was going to be named Kelia because we really enjoyed Kelia. Mm-hmm. We liked Irish names and we wanted
like
to give
I'm going
to
kill you.
Like Gaelic. Like
yeah,
Kelia.
Like, yeah. We wanted to give him an Irish name. Mm-hmm. So that's why we gave him the name Devin. Kelia is a nice name. Yeah. I'd go with that. So there we go.
Excellent.
That's my answer. Question number two.
Question two. Among the following abilities, which would you choose if you had the option? These might be most easily described as savant abilities without the usual neurological drawbacks. So basically, you plus this, okay?
Okay.
So here are your things. Universal translator, where you can communicate in a language after very little study, a la Hoshi from Enterprise. Hoshi? I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Universal musician, same thing, but for playing musical instruments.
Okay.
Highly superior autobiographical memory, an actual condition where you can remember nearly every day of your life with precise detail. Electronics savant, where you can cause computer systems to do your bidding without bugs or errors, basically the opposite of Newt Pulsifer.
Okay.
So which would you choose of those? So universal translator, universal musician, highly superior autobiographical memory, or electronics savant?
I'm having a tough time choosing between the first two. As as somebody who's who's in a band, who performs music, being able to play but doesn't only plays percussion.
Imagine if for $5, like not only would the Dregs try to play any song, but anyone could bring an instrument and
I'd have
to
play it, and that would be cool.
But
universal translator, I'd love to be able to go anywhere in the world and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go for the musician.
Okay.
I think just from my perspective, from where I've arrived in my life, that becomes something that really opens up a lot of doors in a way that I'm already working.
All
so,
right.
Yeah. One of my favorite mutant powers and how it gets used in the X-Men comics is Doug Ramsey, Cypher.
Oh, yeah.
Whose mutant ability is to speak languages, read and speak languages. Eventually, this gets very powerful, and people dismiss it as like a weak power, or not like a combat fighting power or whatever. But eventually, he can do things like, you know, speak to Krakoa, the mutant island or land, and which no one else can communicate with, and invent a language to speak with something that doesn't have a language.
Turn Krakoa from a villainous sort of.
And that includes like speaking in code or whatever. And even if this power didn't incorporate all those crazy extensions of like a Cypher-esque power, I would have to pick Universal Translator.
Okay.
On its own, it's not just about this, but on its own, that skill set would be an incredibly lucrative career just speaking and listening without having to do anything else. That sounds awesome.
That's the one I would choose, but I think electronic savant is going to be the thing that if I can cause computer systems to do my bidding without bugs or errors, and I'm going to cause them to do my bidding, sounds like I just know how they work.
Huh.
Right.
Sure.
So that sounds like something very, very good for going forward in our future world.
Sure.
Unless,
plus,
you can just make
ATM spit out money.
Right. Unless the EMP apocalypse happens and we're in the dark.
Then
ages,
you're host.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least I'm married to the universal translator.
Right. Our powers combined. And right. Tim's our bard.
Oh, I can earn you money.
Question 3. You've become the protagonist of an 80s comedy movie. Which movie are you living and how will your story play out?
Jesus Christ.
Goonies. We're still poor at the end.
Sure.
But you know, our house didn't get sold. But
the real
fortune
was the friends you made along the way.
It wasn't. It wasn't actually. No, we're not friends at all anymore. I'm on Facebook with a couple of them, you know.
Yeah.
But like Chunk joined the alt-right he's very surprising turn. Jada's still cool. We hang.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. I'm gonna choose Night of the Comet.
Ooh.
I am the protagonist of Night of the Comet, and how it turned out was after we found a place to escape the zombies and we fortify ourselves in, we just live happily ever after until we die of natural causes, not zombie bites.
Sure.
That's
nice.
And maybe I'm alone and that's okay because like my shallow mall love, my love of being at the mall and caring about shallow things has actually turned into a boon where that is the place where I managed to survive for so long. And I have learned lessons about myself along the way. Yeah.
I think probably that I would pick Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh,
and
that's good.
I think the way that it carried to the ultimate conclusion, I would never be like super, super successful in the way society views success.
But not the Sausage King of Chicago.
Not the Sausage King of Chicago, but still somehow able to do just about anything that I wanted to.
Yeah. How soon do you and Sloan get divorced? Like right out of college, or did you have a couple kids and try to make it work first?
I I think we tried to do a long distance relationship for the first couple of years. I don't even think we managed to
don't
get,
even
married.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, because there's some hot girl
she
in college.
She seems like a real fucking loser.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Just find somebody more interesting, you know? Somebody who can do some sheming with me instead of make me do it all myself.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. All right, question four. Speaking of 80s comedy movies, you are put in a Brewster's Millions situation.
Let's
tone it down a bit. You are given $1 million, and you must spend it, not donate it, all within 24 hours. If you do, $10 million will be given to whichever causes you deem fit. The catch is you can't own any assets that aren't already yours, and you can't let anyone know the terms of the situation. What do?
I have thought about
Jesus
this.
Jesus Christ. This is a long answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've thought about this. What I do is I rent an entire fucking hotel in like Japan.
Yep.
Like Tokyo or something, right? And I fly out, I don't know, 50, 100, whatever, mm-hmm. a large number of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we buy or rent a whole bunch of private entertainment
mm-hmm.
for us. And I bet you I could blow $1 million just having fun with a huge number of people.
And I'm assuming spend means you can't, like, give it to people. Like, you couldn't just go give it to the homeless or, like, give it to your
friends.
But
you could pay for somebody's hotel room, probably.
Right.
So, for me, I would just, like... First, I would go to Convergence and I would buy 1,000, maybe, you know what, fuck it. I would buy 10,000 Convergence badges and just be like, everyone who wants to go to Convergence this year gets to go for free. And that is me spending the money because I'm actually getting services in return,
sure.
right? And even though I bought way more badges than we need, we don't have to worry about that, right?
Sure.
And then I would also just probably call up hotels because I'm trying to spend the money. I don't really care.
Right.
Call up hotels and be like, I would like to pay all of the bills for all guests that are currently... like at hotels and just
sure.
that's my way of doing it in a charitable way. Since I'm already partying with Nick in Tokyo,
you could see which guests would only come to Convergence for an appearance fee
and pay those appearance fees for a number of guests. Yeah, we could do that. I would probably also just go to restaurants, just randomly drive around to restaurants and be like, I would like to pay all the bills, you know, pay everyone's bill that's open right now.
Oh, sure.
Pay all open checks.
Right.
Walk into a bar and be like, the next four rounds are on me and like give them, you know, $10,000 and keep walking. Everything else is tips for the staff, you know, and like that kind of thing. So
sure.
that's technically buying services, so
sure.
probably yeah. just do that as far as you got 24 hours. If I drank enough, coffee. That's what I would use to stay awake, and then I would do that for 24 hours.
Yeah, the hard thing for me is that idea that you've only got 24 hours to spend it, because
right.
I guess what I'd want to do is something like. They've got like these around the world cruises that that like take like 100 days,
right?
And I'd be like, I'd want to just go ahead and buy.
You could probably still spend it all if
right,
you bought
right.
that cruise for 100 people.
Exactly. I'd be like that for me and 100 of my closest friends.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, let's all and
then it's spent.
Yeah, and then it's spent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all go on this round the world cruise mm-hmm. together, in my treat.
Call Disney World and be like, what would it cost?
What
would it cost to just buy out the park for a day?
I know.
What's that cost?
Oh, yeah.
Just
would it cost $1 million?
Because
if it costed $1 million, I'm in.
Yeah. Less than $1 million? What if I just give you $1 million and the rest is tips for the staff? Like, you know?
Or I'll give you less than $1 million. I still got to get plane tickets for all my
there
friends.
You go. Yeah.
Got to be able to pay for them to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
Private flight.
Yeah, so that'd be something like that.
All right.
Okay.
Question five. Other than increasing the resources, what else could Thanos have snapped for to achieve a similar goal where the population of the universe doesn't outpace the ability of the universe to support it?
Socialism.
Hmm. Just redistribution of wealth with a snap?
Yep.
Yep.
That would work.
Defeat capitalism with a snap.
Now, here's a question. Don't you think that we would become more overpopulated if everyone had the resources to live longer and be healthy?
No, I think it would
turns out that's not how it works.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think, especially considering that space is open to be colonized, and Thanos could snap his fingers and terraform a planet.
See, that was my answer. I was going to be, why doesn't he just snap his fingers and make all planets in the Goldilocks zone, or like, add new planets? Like, right. Boom. Now there's six Earths, and everyone, now each Earth is 1/6 of the population. They're all identical with all the same stuff on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If you eliminated poverty, you'd also eliminate overpopulation, because the most populated countries tend to be the ones with the most poverty.
Mm. Ba-da-bum.
Ching. All right. Your friend of the showly, Miranda Richards. P.S. Jeremy Stomberg. Skull.
Thank you, Miranda. If you would like us to answer your five questions, whomever you may be, please send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.org. We've still got a few out there, but we are running low. Once again, we are running low, so we need those five questions. Send them in, or we're going to have to make something up, and we don't want that to happen. If you enjoyed our show, you can always support us on Patreon. And if you support us on Patreon, we will bump your five questions right to the top of the list. Speaking of to the top of the list, these episodes were at the top of the list. If you were on Patreon, you already heard them. You already heard them. You heard them 2 weeks ago.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. You heard us talk about The Mandalorian before the show was over.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So support us on Patreon.
Please
that's pretty
do
much
that thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Other than thanks for listening. We really appreciate that you have been listening to us as long as we have been talking. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This was our episode about Disney Plus. I have spoken.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Mandalorian. So,